Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for March 2007. This is issue number 276. If you'd like to write to us at the DX Audio Service, the address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Telephone number is 360-382-1957, but please hold your calls at least for another 30 days or so, as I'll explain later. A subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S.-Canadian members is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. To subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or simply log on to the website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using the PayPal credit card system. You can also sign up to EDXN and get your DX audio service on your computer or iPod player and stereo. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to http://www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with the PayPal credit card system, or contact Wayne Heinen at Post Office Box 473251, Aurora, Colorado 80047-3251 if you want to pay by check. Well, you want to know how my week's been going? Kind of like this.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Yeah, basically I came down with a bad case of the flu, and through the course of that, somehow wrecked my vocal cords here. So I'm very quiet, and with that, I think we better just turn it over to Bill Hale and see if we can get through this edition of the DX Audio Service.
Thanks, Fred, and welcome again, everyone, to AM Switch, this time for March 2008. First of all, as we always do, start out with call letter changes. Right off the bat, we've got a call switch in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. 540 WRRD in Jackson, Wisconsin, has changed calls, or exchanged calls, rather, with 1510 WAUK in Waukesha. So, change your logs to read 540 is now WAUK, and 1510 in Waukesha is WRRD. They're simulcasting sports format. So for all those years, 540 was a religious station in the Milwaukee area. It's now sports. Other stations who have changed calls, 580 KTMT in Ashland, Oregon, has changed to KGAY. 730, a new station, soon to take the air in Big Spring, Texas, they've taken the call of KBQX. Another switcheroo, this time in the New Jersey area, 920 WPHY in Trenton, New Jersey, has taken the call of WNJE, but then they turned around a few days later and changed to WCHR. Well, wait a minute, WCHR is on 1040 in Flemington, but they took that call of WNJE, so just swap those two guys around. 1010 KMUZ in Milwaukee, Oregon, they've chosen KOOR for their new call. 1150 KVDG Midland, Texas, changed their call to KLPF. 1230 WOLS in Florence, South Carolina, has changed to WOLH. 1240 WZTQ in Jasper, Alabama, their call has changed to WJLX. 1250 KKHK in Kansas City, Kansas, their new call, KYYS. 1260 WMUU Greenville, South Carolina, has chosen WPJF for a new call sign. 1380 KWJL, Lancaster, California, up in the high desert, KOSS is their call sign now. 1470 KYUU in Liberal, Kansas, they've chosen KSMM for a new call. 1470 KRJJ, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, scratch that KRJJ out and put in KMNQ. 1490 WTYX, Watkins Glen, New York, their call is WRCE, probably because of all the racing that goes on there. That's WRCE. Maybe they call themselves the race? Okay, that's all for call sign changes. Moving on now to construction permits on the air. WGCR in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, has been heard announcing they were running on their new, actually a used, 25-kilowatt transmitter, and at the time it was heard, they were asking for signal strength reports. The phone number given, 828-884-9427. So, assuming they are now on that transmitter, change your logs to read D1, 25,000 watts during the day, and 15,000 watts during critical hours. 790 KGHL Billings, Montana, their CP for U1, 5,000 watts during the day and 1,800 watts at night, is on the air from a new tower site. 1220 WGNY, Newburgh, New York, their construction permit for U4, that's two different patterns day and night, 5,000 watts during the day, 180 watts at night, is now on. 1320 WILS in Lansing, Michigan, their CP for 25,000 watts during the day, 1,900 watts at night is on the air from four new towers using two during the day and four at night. So they are U4. 1370 KWTL Grand Forks, North Dakota, their CP for 12,000 watts during the day, 270 watts at night is now on, all non-directional. 1420 WGAS South Gastonia, North Carolina, their CP for U1, 500 watts daytime, 41 watts at night is on, adding that night operation. And 1570 KZLI, Catoosa, Oklahoma, their CP for D1, 1,000 watts daytime only is on. They've moved from Pryor, Oklahoma. They now share one of the KRVT 1270s, four towers. Some FCC and CRTC actions over the past month. A10 KLVZ, Brighton, Colorado. They've been granted a CP for 10,000 daytime watts, 430 watts at night, U4. 990 WISK, Lawrenceville, Georgia. A CP has been granted to make the move to Lawrenceville from 1390 in Americus. When operational, they'll have 950 watts daytime and 25 watts at night. 1110 WGNZ, Fairborn, Ohio, a CP has been granted for 5,000 watts during the day, 1,700 watts critical hours, and they've got two different patterns, so we call that D4. They've now doubled their daytime power. 1150 WDEL, Wilmington, Delaware, they've been granted a CP for U4, 10,000 watts during the day, and 5,000 watts at night. WVKY 1250, Nicholasville, Kentucky, has been granted a CP for 700 watts during the day, 45 watts at night, all non-directional. 1320 KCTC, West Sacramento, California, a CP has been granted for U4, 5,000 watts during the day, 500 at night. U4, they've combined their day and night sites, which they used to have two different sites, and they've changed their city of license from Sacramento. The new night pattern, directed west-northwest, is a smaller version of the day pattern, which heads south-southeast. 1340 KQJZ, Evergreen, Montana. This new station, not yet on the air, has been granted a CP for U1, 1,000 daytime watts, 670 watts, moving from Kalispell. That's 670 nighttime watts. 1450 KOBO, Yuba City, California. An STA, which means a Special Temporary Authority license, has been granted to continue as U1-250-250 from the Southwest Tower of co-owned KUBA 1600. A new station in Mills, Wyoming on 1560 has been granted U2, that's directional at night only, 10,000 watts daytime, 500 watts at night, and 1,000 watts during critical hours. They're building two new towers. The night pattern is a figure eight headed south-southeast and north-northwest. And 1600 WATX, All Good, Tennessee. A CP has been granted to move to 1600 from 1590 with 2,500 watts daytime, 20 watts at night, non-directional. Grants for new stations on 1340. And I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but bear with me. Hanaunau, Hawaii, that's H-O-N-A-U-N-A-U, Hanaunau, Hawaii. They've been granted, now pay attention here, I said 1340, 10,000 watts during the day, 10,000 watts at night, non-directional, and they'll be sharing a tower with KKON 790 and a proposed new station on 1280. So what's so spectacular about 10,000 watts? Well, they're on a local channel, and they'll probably be the highest powered U.S. Licensed channel, or licensed station rather, on a local channel. 1470, a new station in Marathon, Texas, has been authorized. You too. 10,000 watts during the day and 250 watts at night. And on 1510, Delta Junction, Alaska, has been granted a station. 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. A couple of license cancellations, along with their call letters being deleted, on 560 WCKL in Catskill, New York. However, they've already asked for reconsideration on that license cancellation. And 890 KSDQ in Julian, California, has also been canceled. Some other news, 560 CHVO in Spaniards Bay, Newfoundland. Their new FM, CHVO on 103.9, has signed on. So it looks like CHVO 560 will be silent around mid-April. And 1070 CBA in Moncton, New Brunswick. Their new FM, CBAF FM on 106.1, is signed on. So that East Coast version of KNX will be silent in about 3 months. Some other things that we're always interested in. Fines this month, $7,000 for KAPL 1300 in Phoenix. That's Phoenix, Oregon. They failed to file their renewal application in a timely manner, and then they continued to operate, which was unauthorized, and they've also been granted their application for renewal. Also fined KBRN 1500 in Burney, Texas. They've been fined $8,800 for failing to reduce power after dark and for main studio problems. The studio, during the FCC inspection, was found to be in the rear of a local beauty salon where none of the equipment there was hooked up to anything. Reported as silent this past month, CHLN 550 Troy Rivieres, Quebec. Their programming has moved to 106.9 megahertz. WCIS 760 Morganton, North Carolina, also silent, as well as KDJQ 890 Meridian, Idaho, again. KDLA 1010 DeRidder, Louisiana. WDSP 1280 Dufuniac Springs, Florida. And WGLD 1440 Red Lion, Pennsylvania. Reports indicate that WGLD will be Fox Sports when it returns, and also silent WMRO 1560 Gallatin, Tennessee. But back on the air, WVZN 1580 Columbia, Pennsylvania, and they're on with Spanish programming. Well, I want to thank Sean Axelrod, Bill Dvorak, Wayne Heinen, Dennis Picard, Dave Schmidt, Frank Welch, and Radio World Online for bits and tidbits this month. And of course, I always thank you for listening. If you have any items for AM Switch or have any questions about this month's column, please email me at w_r_hale@sbcglobal.net. I look forward to hearing from you. Coming up next, John Bowker with his next installment of the Travelogue. John, take it away.
Well, thanks very much, Bill Hale. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Travelogue. You know, Bill, it's interesting that the FCC actions, of course, are much less over the past month or two. You wonder if that has anything to do with the main economy. I'll bet it does. Yeah. Well, everybody, these new Travelogue series, thank you for your comments. I'm delighted that you're finding them pleasurable. Let's see. So far, we've taken a trip from Pennsylvania to Indiana and another one over around the St. Louis area. And then, of course, what were we last month in Lake Champlain around Vermont and New York. Well, today we're going to take a hop, skip, and a jump to the southwest part of the country, a place probably many of you won't ever get to visit, although Skip Dabblestein lives there. Hi, Skip. We're going to go down to the southern part of Arizona and hear all the radio activity going on in that part of the world. We're going to start this month in the city of Douglas, Arizona. Now, you might wonder why. Well, first of all, it's right on the Mexican border, and it's over on the New Mexico border, New Mexico now, over in the southeastern part of Arizona, if you can follow that okay. And the reason we went there was for me to visit the FCC office that at that time was still there. It's since been closed. But I did want to go around and see all the FCC offices that I could, because I was working, well, I was working for RCA, but my liaison with the FCC was really what my job was all about for many years. So we visited there, and this is what we picked up as we begin the March 2008 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
Y nosotros desde Douglas, Arizona, saludándole a ustedes, hombre. Muy buenos días a esta hora en la mera mera frontera.
This is KATR 930 kHz in Douglas, Arizona. Esta es KPR 930 en su cuadrante en estéreo, Douglas, Arizona.
Entonces nos vamos hasta Atlanta, Georgia, para llevarle a ustedes un servicio de radio noticias, hora tras hora, música, noticias y más. Desde Atlanta para usted, a través del 930.
And as you can tell, we were well on our way to the west when we made that recording out of Douglas. They didn't give an ID right on the hour, which is kind of amusing with the FCC office right there. However, halfway from Douglas to Tucson, and that's over 100 miles, is the city of Sierra Vista, Arizona. And just from the language that you'll hear them using, you can tell they're set back just a little from the border with Mexico.
The information you need to know is right here on KTAN Sierra Vista.
AP Network News, I'm Brian Rackham. Thomas Root says he doesn't know how he got shot.
Oh, something else about Sierra Vista you should know, and that is that just outside of town is the city of Tombstone, Arizona. How many cowboy stories do we have about that? Now, KTAN is at 1420. We're going to slide up the dial to 1470 for the other station in town.
Your station for the original. 1470 KMFI Sierra Vista. From ABC News, I'm John Belmont. The French say the Paris Economic Summit is going so well, it'll end ahead of schedule.
Oh, and I should point out that all the recordings you're hearing today were made in the years 1990 to 1994. Actually, Linda and I made three trips to the Tucson area. One of them very interesting, to meet with a radio historian. A very interesting guy. Had a lot of fun. Okay, we're going to proceed toward Tucson still on our trek around southern Arizona. We come to the city of Green Valley, Arizona. We're going to tune to 1080, and while you might think, gee, in that part of the country, I'll bet it's a biggie. Well, no, it isn't. It's 1,000 watts, and it's a daytimer.
Live and local, this is KGBY Green Valley and Tucson, the big band station.
Network News, I'm Camille Bohannon. The House is now voting on a proposal that defies the established Clinton administration policy on the arms embargo against Bosnia.
Now, that station's only 25, 30 miles south of Tucson. And as you get closer to Tucson, there's a little town of fewer than 4,000 people. Saurita, I think it's pronounced. Well, we'll hear how it's pronounced in a second. 1210 on the dial. And they're running 10,000 watts in the daytime, and they're actually on the air at night, too, with 1,000 watts.
De estar nuevamente con ustedes con más de su música aquí en esta mañana para el mundo entero.
You're in tune with KQTL, Saguarita, Tucson, Arizona, 1210 AM.
Está en sintonía con KQTL, Saguarita, Tucson, Arizona, 1210 en el cuadrante de su radio. KQTL, puntualmente a la hora, cada hora presenta el servicio informativo más completo y veraz de la radio en español en Arizona. Una conjunción de los servicios de mayor criterio. En el panorama nacional e internacional, CNN Radio Noticias y las noticias locales de mayor relevancia recopiladas por el equipo Eyewitness News de KBOA, Canal 4 de Televisión en Tucson.
Noticias de CNN en Atlanta, les habla Pilar Verde. El candidato opositor mexicano Cuauhtémoc Cárdenas ha dicho que no será.
And now as we proceed north, we go by one of the most wondrous sights I've seen in the United States. It's called the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. But that's where they have been storing all of the surplus airplanes from the previous wars. They store them there because the air is such that the planes won't rust. So they're all mothballed. Now, that's all just south of South Tucson. And speaking of South Tucson, let's go up to 1600 on our AM radio dials.
KXEW, 1600 AM, South Tucson.
KXEW, 1600 AM, Sur Tucson.
CRC Cadena Radio Centro, el contacto noticioso entre usted y el mundo, le informa desde México.
Now, South Tucson is a large enough community to have two radio stations licensed in that name. We'll swing down to 1330 for the relaxing sounds of another station. Relaxing up to a point. I see they have a 0.5 rating back in 1990 when this recording was made.
You're listening to KMRR, 1330 AM, South Tucson, the new way to relax.
And now we move into the metropolitan area of Tucson. And ladies and gentlemen, I got duped on this next recording. I didn't recognize what a mistake I had made. It was near the top of the hour. They gave a legal ID. Bang, I turn off the recorder and go on to the next station. Only this was not a legal ID. You'll hear him say 690 in Tucson. There is no 690 station in Tucson. It's licensed to the community of Oro Valley, which is a suburb of Tucson.
Focus on the Family can be heard 12 noon here on KVOI and also 5 p.m. 690 a.m. is Good News Radio, KVOI, Tucson.
During the past 2 weeks in the daily conversations from Radio Bible Class.
Of course, I didn't recognize the mistake until months later when I was trying to make it rationalize with my log. I should have called the Douglas FCC office, shouldn't I? Except, no, they closed very shortly after that. Now, this next station probably was tempted to do much the same thing, but they gave a very legal ID. And what did it get them? They went silent about 3 weeks after we made this recording in 1990.
This is KSAZ, Marana, Tucson, AM 580.
Unlike a lawyer in the news this hour, President Clinton, in his weekly radio address today, criticized opponents of his health care plan.
Now, as you could expect, we've heard more than the usual number of Spanish-speaking stations on today's travelogue. But let me say this, if it weren't for the Spanish part of this next ID, I don't know that we would have ever learned what the station was.
This is KEVT, 1030, Arizona. Esta es KEBT, 1030 AM, Cortaro, Arizona.
La Iglesia Cristiana Ebenezer presenta su programa Un Nuevo Día con el Pastor Gilberto Mares.
Now, I'm sure you'd agree that it wouldn't be appropriate to leave this part of the country without giving you a weather forecast. But what kind of a weather forecast is this?
Your Tucson forecast for today, partly cloudy with high about 108. Tonight, mostly clear with the low in the lower 70s. You're listening to AM 990, KTKT Tucson, your news button.
Now, I think you understand that we could go on for hours and hours and hours. After all, we did this for 10 years in our motorhome traveling around the country. But this last one we have for you today, I think this is the epitome and wraps it up very nicely, right back to where we started from.
Serving the universe. From the top of the Empire State Building.
The amazing AM.
Power 1490. KYK. Tucson's new music leader.
It is just a minute before 5 o'clock, but I feel like getting out of here early. It is Friday. I'm itching a little. I can't wait to go down to the Downs tonight. I'm going to play that NBA Jams all night long until my fingers bleed a little. But first off, we got to say hi to the FCC listening post in Douglas, Arizona. They're checking in to make sure, you know, we're following the rules and, you know, we're not like have Howard Stern on the air or anything. Remember, we don't want to play this song. We have to play it. Everybody at 5 o'clock. It's like a rule. Johnny Kemp just got paid Friday night.
Well, this has sure been a fun trip today. I have to tell you, it brought back some very, very fond memories from, well, 18 years ago. It's unbelievable. My goodness, how time flies. But we do want to leave some time for Mark here, and then I hope Fred will have some time on this DX audio service to tell you all about the Pittsburgh Convention coming at the end of August. We're all looking forward to that. Okay, Mark, my friend, it's all yours.
Thanks, John, and greetings, loyal listeners. Several months ago, I promised you we'd revisit our discussion of noise interference. If you're like me, you find it increasingly difficult to pull stations out of that pesky noise. And since many of us are DXing in populated urban environments, our chances to reduce that interference are somewhat limited. But let's see what we can do to help you find your way to some new catches by trying to clear up some of the noise around your radio. First, it's important to remember that in AM radio, the ability to hear a station is directly dependent on the ratio of the station's signal strength to the level of the interfering noise. Since almost all station upgrades have resulted in more, not less, power, there's only one thing left for us to do to improve our lot, and that's to reduce the noise fighting the station's signal. That noise level, unfortunately, keeps increasing due to our use of electrical appliances and other noise generators, for example, the so-called energy-saving light bulbs. To tackle these problems, let's first identify what kind of noise we're dealing with, and then see what we can do about it. First, we need to know whether the noise that we're dealing with is coming from local interference or from an AM IBOC station. Here's an example of IBOC interference. Note, the noise is smooth and consistent. Now here's the sound of electrical interference. You'll notice the sharpness and the sporadic edge to the noise. And again, for comparison, here's the IBOC buzz. So hopefully in your case, you're faced with electrical interference because you can't do much about IBOC unless you're really lucky with a directional antenna. But you might be able to do something about local noise, and it's all around us, sometimes coming from surprising places. Here are some examples of noise interference. And obviously each situation is unique, so we can't point you to very many specific solutions except to tell you to stay away from noise generators themselves. We'll find some for you. Toward the end of our visit, we'll make some broad suggestions that might be of help. Here are some case example audio snips from a 2004 recording made in a high-rise apartment building in suburban Minneapolis. The radio is tuned to 1560. The closest signal is a flea power about 200 miles away. So this is really a worst-case situation. Follow us now as we identify the interference one source at a time. And each time we do and we eliminate the interference, the noise will drop and we'll be able to turn the radio up just a little bit more, reaching for that signal. Let's take a walk through the apartment, starting in the kitchen with a Sony 7600 and a Kiwa loop recording onto a mini disc. Here we are in the apartment kitchen. Let me move the loop around a little bit. My goodness, this is coming from the stove. That's coming from the control surface of our Frigidaire electric stove. Oh my word. All right, let's move the loop farther away down the counter. And let's turn up the radio volume a little bit. Now what do we hear? That sounds like fluorescent noise, doesn't it? Fluorescent light noise. Let's see what happens when we turn off the kitchen light. Well, that took it down a whole lot, and now that we've taken the noise down some more, let's crank the radio up some more. Still no signal there. All right, I can just reach the computer monitor from here, so let's flip off the power to the flat panel monitor. Huge difference. Let's crank the receiver up a little more. And still nothing there. Maybe, as long as we're at it, let's shut the computer off and see what that's doing to it. Whoops. In order to turn the computer off, I need the mouse click. I got to turn the monitor back on. Hang on. All right, got to turn the monitor off, and let's see what happens. Okay, the monitor is off again. The computer is shutting down, and there we go. Let's crank the gain up on the radio a little bit more here. And each time we're turning up the volume, and every time I do, I hear something new. Where's this one coming from? Let's go snooping around with our loop and see if we can figure out where this is coming from. Oh my goodness. You're not going to believe this one. That is coming from my electric razor charger. Let me unplug the razor. Plug it back in again, if I can do it with one hand. All right, shut her off. All right, we're getting better. And we crank the radio up yet more. Still nothing there. We keep pulling up the noise and looking for the signal. All right, what's next? Well, the TV set is still on. I guess my wife left it on. I didn't even notice. Let's hit the button and cut the TV set. Wow. Turn the radio up a little more. I think we're going to start hearing stations again pretty soon. You know, the TV is probably an obvious source of interference. And it may be the first thing you look for. It certainly cleared up a lot of noise here. Let's see if we're getting any signals yet. Getting better. I think I hear a carrier. But there still seems to be too much noise, and I'm not sure what's left here. Let me see if I can turn the radio up a little bit. And now we're hearing what almost sounds like computer noise, and I'll bet it's the mini disc itself. Let me move the loop away from the recorder. And listen to that. We're starting to pull a signal out of the noise. Let me try orienting the loop.
Kind of one-sided is that I never heard the moderator ask Jerry.
And in three dimensions, there will be a sacred angle at which the noise is minimized, and the station is now coming through. And that's probably the best example I can give you on how to look for noise in a typical apartment. We went from severe blanketing noise to a usable signal.
One question I was wondering about is the fact that it doesn't seem like it'll be out.
Well, there you are. We learned that by poking around, finding specific noise sources, disabling each of them, each time we can turn the radio up just a little bit more until we find the signal. This demonstration is pretty dramatic when you remember that we were dealing with a low-power signal from a long way away, in the middle of the day, when a lot of folks around us are using TV sets and other appliances. A word about the best way to find this sort of interference. We do what we call noise sniffing. We had the benefit of the Kiwa loop, which can be made super sensitive to noise and can act as a very, very handy direction finder. But you can do pretty much the same thing using your portable pocket radio. Remember that the radio usually has a built-in loop of its own, and you can use it as a direction finder. Now let's move to another venue and a different set of examples. We're in our former Colorado digs, from which we delivered the Colorado band scan you heard around the turn of the year 2008. Same radio, Kiwa loop and mini disc, but some different types of problems. This time we're looking for an easier signal, KOA, 250 miles away, 50 kilowatts in Denver, daytime. Listen to what the first pass around the house sounds like. That broadband buzz almost seems hopeless. In this next example, you'll hear me walking with the radio right up to a light dimmer that's halfway on, and then you'll hear the light dimmer being switched off. Well, that made some difference, notably removing some of that sharp buzz, but as you heard, there are obviously other problems. Here we are standing in front of one of those energy saver bulbs, and then we move away from it. What in the world is that? I hear you ask. That noise is coming from a typical office machine, a Panasonic copier. The whine is the motor as the machine winds up getting ready to work. In the next audio, you'll hear me restart the copier and then turn it off again. And lest you think that's going to extremes in our demonstration, remember that even if your radio wasn't right on top of the copier, being anywhere near it would mean that the copier was adding something to the aggregate noise level. So the only way to do this is to find each point source of interference and eliminate it. To the kitchen we go now, and you'll hear me walking toward the stovetop. Remember what we learned in the Minneapolis apartment a few minutes ago. We'll pull the loop away from the stove and move it up to the microwave. Each has its own unique sound signature. And then as we get away from appliances, you'll hear that we begin to get the hints of an actual radio signal. Those kitchen examples give us the idea that we'd better stay away from appliances of all sorts, especially modern products that almost invariably have a microprocessor in them. And today that includes so many devices. And if that's not bad enough, look what happens when we walk a few steps and put the radio near the cell phone battery charger. In this example, you'll hear me unplug the charger, and lo and behold, for the first time, KOA shows up.
I could go on for hours here.
I mean, even on the Republican side.
Oh, sure.
There's all the Republican guys on the Republican Senate are standing up there against the enemies of our country in Congress and sticking flowers in the rifle barrels of the Democrats.
So what have we learned today? Well, first, there's no simple cure any more than there's a single source of interference. It requires some searching, which can actually be a lot of fun. And if you're like me, you may end up shutting everything off while you're listening for those DX catches. Second, sniff around the walls as well. You may find that your favorite listening area has wiring nearby buried in the walls, and we know that a lot of local electrical interference travels up these wires. Third, it's a great idea if you can power your radio by battery. Sometimes that noise is traveling right up the line cord on the radio. Fourth, look for the obvious when you're chasing down a periodic noise that comes and goes. Fish tank heaters and electrical blankets are popular culprits. In fact, anything that might cycle on and off should be investigated. Next, examine the environment outside your digs. We've had DX reports from folks who have identified offending noise as coming from things like yard lights. And make a note if the noise appears at the same time each day. There may be something going on outside that bears investigation. In the case of the yard light, the noise came up about the same time each evening and stopped regularly in the morning. That was the first clue. If all else fails, try unplugging things or turning off circuit breakers. Just like our cell phone charger example, it could be that your wireless phones are adding to the noise. And the newly emerging culprit is the wired or wireless computer router. So there we are, as promised, another quick look at potential noise sources that may be colliding with your good fortune in getting that rare DX catch. You can gather from what we've said that a lot of the resolution for these problems may be in your own hands, because as a matter of experience, much of that interference is locally generated. But that being said, if you're convinced the problem is outside your home or apartment, don't hesitate to call for help. If the power company responds to your call and you're armed with an AM radio tuned to the low end of the band and can demonstrate its noise direction finding capabilities, they're likely to want to help. After all, that kind of electrical noise can be a sign of impending trouble for them, and they may thank you for providing early warning. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. Next month, as promised, we begin the multi-part band scan from the middle of the mythical Lake Wobegon in Minnesota. And unlike our typical 1A and 1B clear channels, this band scan will go from end to end of the dial, and we hope you'll be here to share the results. And until then, good noise hunting and good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark. Anna, we'd like to hear from you, the DX Audio Service member. If you'd like to let us know what you found in your home, perhaps some appliances and things that are making a lot of noise, why don't you drop us a call on the Musings line? Side 2 has more information. You know, the one thing that I kind of got out of Mark's report, the one thing I finally realized was that we really don't need IBOC, and we really don't need more stations with higher power. We just need a cleaner environment. Now, isn't that moving with the green movement? As John Bowker alluded to, we're going to give you some information concerning the 2008 National Radio Club Convention, which, by the way, is the 75th anniversary of the Radio Club. The National Radio Club was founded in 1933. This is our 75th anniversary, and I think that if you've not been to a National Radio Club convention, this might be the year you might want to go. And if you've been there before, well, you know how great they are, so we know we're going to see you there. Yours truly will be there. I don't know how many of the other editors and publishers and board of members and who else is going to be there, but I should be there, and I hope to see you too. Well, John sends along, John from Pittsburgh, sends along some information concerning the National Radio Club Convention, and just a tentative schedule, just so you can kind of get an idea what's all in store. There's still a lot of things that are going to be have to be decided on, and so what we're going to have to do is kind of refine this maybe a couple months from now and get more details to you. But tentatively, here's what's happening. First of all, room rates are $75, and that is a flat fee. That's for Thursday, the 28th, through Sunday. Registration is not yet confirmed, but we feel it's going to be about $45, and this will include the pizza dinner on Friday night, snacks, sodas in the hospitality room, the tour of Heinz History Center, and the Saturday night dinner buffet. All other meals you're responsible for going and getting yourself and paying for. As far as activities, on Friday, August the 29th, 9 a.m., the hospitality room opens. At 1 p.m., we'll have lunch and some radio and TV tours starting out. At 5 p.m., the pizza dinner. At 7 p.m., the opening of the convention, the official opening, I guess we could say, and greetings of the members. Everyone gets a chance to say their howdies and introduce themselves. At 7:30, a audiovisual presentation of the National Radio Club's 75th anniversary, followed by a salute to Pittsburgh Radio on the city's 250th birthday. And this will include a KDKA 1020 honor. On Saturday, August the 30th, the hospitality room will open at 9 a.m. and possibly a tour of the Heinz History Center at 10 a.m. At 12:30 p.m. or 1 p.m., lunch at the Sports Rock Cafe, which is one block from the Heinz History Center. At 1:30 p.m., radio tours and transmitter tours are in order. And at 5 o'clock, we need to be back to the Holiday Inn to have our group photo taken. At 6 p.m., we'll have the dinner, and that will be held at the Greenery Restaurant, and that's located in the motel. At 7:30, business meeting, the guest speaker, and, of course, the world-famous National Radio Club auction. So be sure to start saving up some items for the auction. Believe me, we could use all the help we can get so we're not selling old T-shirts and old DX news copies. And on Sunday, we have, at 9 a.m., the breakfast, and then talk, and a little bit of the candy quiz. And I understand that that will be done by proxy. John Bowker will not be able to make the convention this year due to a previous commitment, so he will be a designated, an official candy man to be able to do the candy quiz. At 10 a.m., it's the National Radio Club DX Audio Service DX Quiz, And we might even have the WTFDA in there also doing a quiz. So this could turn out to be very, very interesting. At 11 o'clock to 1:30, we'll have to depart for the Pirates game with the ride on the Gateway Clipper, which will go to PNC Park. At 1:35 p.m., it's the Pirates versus the Brewers. And if you are unable to make it, well, you'll just have to listen, I think, to KDK or one of the radio stations for the game. And if you hear somebody yell, "Yay, National Radio Club," you'll know it's one of the members. At 5:30 p.m., we return to the Holiday Inn just to kind of wind down for the evening. And at 9 p.m., the Pittsburgh 2008 convention officially closes. Well, I'm sure we'll have more information later. And, of course, one of the questions is, what about WNRC? Well, let's turn on the radio. I wonder what frequency they're going to be on.
Get it on! This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Radio 152 for the 75th Annual Convention.
Attention radio station.
WNRC Pittsburgh.
I'm very happy about that.
A National Radio Club radio station.
Thank you.